This is an interview from the Saturday edition of Woman Today with me, Larice Faree, that airs weekly on Saturdays at 8:30 a.m. South African Central Time on Good News Community Radio 93.6 FM. We are speaking to Hannah Rasmussen, acquisitions editor at Oasis International, a publishing house that is aimed at satisfying Africa's thirst for God's word. Hannah, what would you say are the personal requirements to be able to write a book? If you could just say, what does it take for an African author to write a book that is excellent within his context and also in the global context?
Sure. So to publish with us specifically, we are looking for someone who is biblically grounded. So we want you to have a good knowledge of the scriptures, how to interpret them and apply them. We don't want to publish books that are based on, you know, I had a dream and a personal revelation from God that no one else has access to. Or that, you know, are solely reliant on, let's say, some social science research that they never connect back to what the Bible says on it. So we're looking for people with a strong biblical grounding. We're looking for people who are experts in their field. So that can be through a lot of personal experience. You know, you could be writing your memoir and you're an expert on your own life, or you could be writing a children's book because you have experience working with children, or you could be writing a book based on your professional research or whatever it is. In terms of character qualities that a writer needs, you need to have a lot of patience and humility, because it's one thing to just write a first draft, and that is a huge effort. Let me not, you know, don't get me wrong, that is a real time commitment to sit down every week and spend some time and write something and have it be clearly structured and organized. I mean, a book is no joke, but then to be willing to do 3 revisions on every chapter, and it might take you a year, and you're going to get feedback from people saying, this could be better, consider that. Would you be willing to change it like this? And to have the humility to say, I wasn't right the first time. I want my message to be as strong as possible. These people have valuable input. And sometimes I can push back, and that's okay. And I can explain where I was coming from and what I was trying to do. But to have that humility and passion and work ethic to actually work through the process of writing an editorial, I think is something I really appreciate in my authors that I get to work with.
Mm-hmm. So, Hannah, given the broad scope of the audience that you're reaching out to and the broad scope of the different African authors that you are in touch with, you've mentioned that one of the very important things is that they are biblically grounded, that what they're saying comes from the Bible and doesn't solely rely either on personal experience or on other kinds of experiences such as dreams and visions. But how do you navigate differences in convictions? Say it's an author who has thoroughly studied the scriptures and he's come to a conclusion that may differ from that of your own personal convictions or the conviction of Oasis as an organization. How do you navigate those kinds of differences?
Sure. We try to be fairly broadly, we try to represent a broad diversity of views. We're not a denominational publisher, so we're not requiring you to line up with a narrow stance of doctrinal beliefs. If it's biblically grounded, and it's not a harmful view, you know, we will be happy to publish that. Then sometimes what we'll do then is reach out to that publishing advisory board and get their input as to their perspective on some of these things.
Mm-hmm. So you've mentioned your role in the organization as being more editorial. Could you just explain to us a little bit more in detail what it is you do at Oasis?
So my title is acquisitions editor, and that means I find authors, review proposals that come to us, pitch them to our team and say, this is why I think that we should publish this author. I take it to the publishing advisory board, get their feedback, get the publisher's feedback, and communicate it back to the author. I'll, you know, send them the contract. And then I do a lot in that intermediate stage of giving them feedback on every chapter and how are we going to implement this publishing advisory board's feedback that you need many more stories throughout the whole thing, or the publisher's feedback that you need biblical grounding in these areas, and provide some of my own insights as well on structure of your book, or this objection you've not met, or your tone. Maybe it's coming across too critical and we need to be more inviting, or things like that. So I will basically work with the author chapter by chapter to give them that feedback, evaluate whether they've done it, make more suggestions, show them how we could do it in a different way. Sometimes I'll do line by line editing to kind of just make every sentence flow well, or even do some structural rearranging if the author is needing that and it's something they would appreciate me doing. And then I often supervise the last half of the process, which would be what we call the copy edit, which is now grammar and spelling and adherence to our style guide. And then typesetting, which is putting it in a layout, and the interior design. I'll work with the interior designer and the cover designer. And then kind of proofreading it just to make sure the layout all looks good. So I'll be kind of supervising the people who do that last half of the process before we send it off to the printer.
Okay, so you are intimately involved in the process. That's very exciting. And it's also interesting not just to hear about the work of Oasis, but about the different aspects that go into getting a book published. So Hannah, when you're working with the authors, what would you as an organization actually want to see happening in their lives? Are you just looking to get that final product finished, or are you actually investing in the authors as well?
It's a huge growing process for the authors. I encourage authors who go through this whole process of getting editorial feedback and so forth, not to think about it just as, oh, I'm getting a final product of a book that's better, but actually I'm growing as a communicator. Many people have never received feedback on their communication at this level of detail. If you're a pastor, you know, people just say, good job, pastor. And if you're a professor, maybe the only time you got feedback on your writing was when you did, you know, your thesis or your dissertation. And so people haven't had that opportunity to get helpful feedback. And so some of the things that we talk about, like tone, like the critical thinking aspects of some of the details of their argument, alternate viewpoints. Is that really how you should interpret that biblical passage? Because I've heard this. It really refines their thinking on the subject of their expertise. Also, many of them have told me, wow, I feel like I'm a much better communicator now. I hadn't thought about how the tone in which I convey my message could actually end up with people, you know, rejecting it because it was a bit too strong. But now I can structure my argument so that I build it up one step at a time and bring people along with me. And by the end, they'll be on my side, you know. Or one of the most common things that I see in authors is they feel a need to quote block quotes from many other books that they've read. And this is probably from the academic training that they've done, where make sure you cite your sources, make sure you've done your research. And I totally agree. Please don't put a quote pasted into your book that you didn't cite your source. But usually that's only the first step, is reading everything else other people have written. Then you need to synthesize it and come up with your own original contribution. And so I push authors and I say, look, you know, you are the expert. Mm-hmm. When you're doing your academic research, you have to defer to all the experts and say, basically shake hands with everyone in the room and say, you know, I recognize your contribution, yours and yours and yours. And I'm, you know, listing you all by name, and I've done my research. I've read your things, and now I have a right to speak. You know, that's what a literature review is. But we're reading your book. We want to hear what you have to say. If you don't have expertise in the subject and all you have is what you've read from other people, why should we read your book? And so I have this pep talk with authors, and I say, look, you're the expert. You have something to say. Tell me what you have to say. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't quote other people, but if we're seeing a paragraph here and there from everyone else, it's like you're speaking in the microphone and handing it over to somebody else. And I say, take back the mic. Mm. And so sometimes they don't even realize that they have things that could be counted as sources. And often they're Western sources that they are quoting. It's all these people who wrote commentaries and books from the US and the UK. And I'm like, we're reading a book by an African author. Mm-hmm. We don't want to hear only what they have to say. You have something you need to say. And the author may not realize that, oh, oral sources are sources too. If my preacher said this, if my grandma said this, if I had this experience, if there's a common proverb in my community, that's a source. Just because somebody else hasn't written it down yet doesn't mean it's not a valid source of information. My personal experience is something that God has done, and I can use that example to make my point. And one author who I really challenged on this, he took some time and prayed, and he said the Holy Spirit really spoke to me and started bringing to mind all of these examples of ways I've experienced these truths. And I'm so glad you held my feet to the fire because it made me realize God has put something in me, you know, that my voice matters, and I can make it contextually relevant to Africa because I live here. And I know what's going on, and I can speak from that perspective, and I don't, it's almost like an empowering feeling to be like, oh yeah, I'm an expert now too. I have something to say.
Do you ever encounter that idea that you are either a good writer or you're just not?
That's a good question. Probably by the time they've worked to draft out a manuscript, they've overcome some of that self-doubt. But just to respond to that, for writers who may not have reached that stage, writing is a skill. It's something that takes practice. It's something that takes diligence, and it's something that you can improve. And one of the best ways to improve as a writer is to read. Read lots of books. Soon you'll start to see what other people do, and it'll almost become ingrained in you of like, oh, here's how you structure a chapter, or here's how a story narrative goes, and so forth. And you can read books on writing too. There are famous books like On Writing is one of them. And there are also online resources that tell you what a story arc is or things like that. You can subscribe to Grammarly's blog, and they send out little tips about grammar. But I would say another really key way to improve as a writer is to join a feedback group. I said already how the feedback I provide to authors is so helpful to them. Sometimes you can find that in a group of colleagues who have committed that they will give you honest feedback, and you each come with your writing, and however often you decide to meet, and you share it with the group beforehand, and they spend time and write comments on the side. And then when you meet, you all begin by saying something positive that you liked about the piece, and then something that you would suggest they change. And you can give us feedback on what that would look like, not just a negative common, but a constructive one. And when you see other people having that perspective on your writing, you start to know what better writing would look like. And even as you hear people give positive feedback, you know what you did well. And then you see as they give positive feedback to someone else, oh, that is a good point. That person does know how to do this well. I could begin to emulate them in this area.
So thank you so much for joining us and giving us a bit of a broad perspective on the work of OASIS and also on this program that wants to empower African voices to share that message within our context and also in the global context. I just want to ask you a last sort of a more personal question on why you are involved with OASIS and what it is that you like about your job. Why do you want to be involved in the work they're doing?
I grew up in Tanzania and Kenya as a missionary kid, and how I was saved as a four-year-old was my Sunday school teacher received a book in English that was a story of salvation, and most of the Sunday school spoke Swahili, so he gave it to me, and my parents read it with me, and I decided to commit my life to Christ. And so the power of literature, and this was a story of a little African boy who, you know, learned about heaven and hell, literally is why I'm a Christian today. And, you know, I later discovered that I had a gift for writing and that I had a call to ministry and that I was passionate about that. And it took me a while to accept that call to ministry when I was in university. But then when I joined OASIS, which was just a series of miraculous events, but I asked God, you know, is this a ministry or am I running from the call? And he really affirmed that, you know, this is a great ministry because you're amplifying the voices of all of these people who have their ministries. But when I look at the demographics in Africa, where the median age is 19, we have respected, you know, senior leaders, middle-aged people who have years of experience. But for them to personally mentor all of the new Christians, even all of the young Christians that are, you know, because the people are coming to faith so quickly, people are being born and just needing discipleship, they will never be able to keep up if they're doing it on a one-on-one basis. But if we can amplify their voices through media, through books, then they can mentor millions of people on their area of expertise. And these people can be mentored by all of them because just like I have the privilege of hearing from each author, the one thing the church in Africa needs to know is premarital counseling or how the church should handle divorce. And I get all of them because I get to work with them. And what an honor and privilege that is. The same thing can happen for people who are able to just read all of their books. And so God really spoke to me and said, no, this is your best contribution to ministry at the moment is to amplify the voices of these authors and expand their ministry through media in a way that they aren't able to do on their own, but they have the content that's much more relevant than what I could provide by doing one-on-one ministry in Africa myself.
Thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate it. And thank you for your willingness to spend this time sharing with us here in South Africa the exciting work that OASIS is doing. And just for the listeners, also a reminder to keep OASIS and their work in prayer, considering the difficulties that they can run into, red tape in the continent and, you know, difficulties getting the books here because of strikes and things that we are so accustomed to in our country. So you as the listener can also just keep OASIS and Hannah in prayer.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, Larisse. If people want to learn more about OASIS and what we do to grow discipleship through publishing African voices, they can go to our website, oasisinternationalpublishing.com. If you're interested in the Empowering African Voices program in particular, it's under the About tab. And You can also look at our catalog and see what books might be of interest to you. Perhaps some of the ones I've talked about, such as Getting Married, Stand Up for the Gospel, the Africa Study Bible, Bibletude Perspectives Africaines, and others that we didn't have a chance to discuss today. So thank you so much for this opportunity, and I look forward to connecting again in the future.